7, and we'll see what the master has for brunch this afternoon. Amen. But that's over in Psalm 147. We'll read one verse and we'll pray, and I ask God for his help. Once you get there, let's all stand and we'll read verse number 3, and then we'll pray, and then we'll ask the master for a special touch from him. Amen. Psalm 147 and verse number 3. The Bible says that the psalmist says, well, I'll read verse 1 first. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, I like that, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. Here's our text. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. We're going to talk this morning, this little thought, emotionally broken. Father, I pray for help, divine help. I pray, God, for fresh touch and a fresh anointing. I pray, God, for clarity of mind and thought. I pray, God, to help me to preach your word to your people that have assembled here on this glorious Sunday morning. I pray and ask, God, you reveal to us some truths. Yes, sir. Some truths that will help us we find ourselves emotionally broken. I pray, God, that you reveal to us where the medicine is at. Yeah. To help us to be cured of our emotional brokenness. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. I pray, God, that somebody here today that's not saved, blood bought, born again, redeemed, been placed into the family of God. I pray, God, they receive Jesus this morning as Lord, Savior, yes, sir, and King. And with that, Father, we'll praise you. I pray, God, for liberty and freedom. I pray, God, you continue to move amongst us and help us in that particular area, that spot that we need help but may not even realize it. But, God, you're going to show it to us, but not just point it out. But hallelujah, you're going to give us a remedy. With that, God, we'll thank you. Fill with the Holy Spirit, guide my tongue and my speech. I pray, God, to bless those who are watching the services, live streaming. They'll be watching the services later. And then, God, those who will be listening later. God, help us. Why? Because we need it. That's it. In your son's name, we pray. One more thing, Father. I pray you continue to touch Brother Billy Sampson and his family. I'll give them a great touch today, a great anointing, and great liberty to sing the praises unto you. And for that, God, we'll thank you. Touch Emily and touch her body. I pray, God, to heal her and give her strength for all the journey. And for that, God, we'll thank you too. All right, we're done. In your son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Maybe see that. Emotionally broken. The Bible says in verse number 3, he healeth the broken in heart. And then the Bible says, and bindeth up their wounds. That word emotionally means involving emotions or the emotions. That's deep. Amen. But your emotions, of course, are your feelings, that which is going on the inside. And a lot of times, my friends, we find ourselves being emotionally broken, but also physically broken. As a matter of fact, look with me over to Psalm 6 and verse number 2. Look at Psalm 6 and verse number 2. Not only is there a physical brokenness, but there's also emotional brokenness. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 6 and look at verse number 2. The Bible says this. The psalmist says, David, he says, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Why? For I am what? I'm weak. He owns up to it. Oh, Lord, heal me, for my bones are what? Vexed. Now, that word heal me means to make me healthy. It means, my dear friends, to mend. It means to repair. He says, repair, mend, heal my bones. That word bones means my body, my limbs. He's talking about that which is physical. And he says this, for my bones are what? Are vexed. That word vexed in this verse also means to be anxious or to be nervous. I'm like, wow. And we all know sometimes, my dear friends, even our nerves can affect our bones. But he goes a little bit farther. This is the Bible. This is awesome. He goes a little bit farther and says in verse 3, my soul is also what? Vexed. It's sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Pause. My soul, now he's talking about my emotions and my passion. Not just physically, but now we're talking about the insides. He says right here in this verse, my soul is also sore or exceedingly vexed. It's anxious. It's nervous. There's something going on the inside as well as on the outside. And then the psalmist says this, which many of us have said too, but thou, O Lord, how long? How long am I going to be a nervous? How long am I going to be vexed on the inside? How long am I going to struggle with this inner pain? How long am I have to deal with this that is tearing me apart on the inside as well as the outside? Lord, how long? And then he says this in the next verse. He says, return. That's his prayer. Return, O Lord. And when you come, do something. Deliver me or deliver my soul. Oh, save me for thy mercies, for thy kindness sake. Lord, what I need is for you to return and to heal me, to return and to help me. Now, a lot of times we don't want to admit that we are emotionally wounded or we are emotionally broken. But the first sign of getting any kind of help is admitting where we are. Just own up to the fact that my emotions are just, they're all over the place. And there's things that affect my emotions. They cause me to be in this predicament that I am in. Let's look, first of all, at the patient, which may be many of us that are here this morning. We're the patient, and we need a touch from the great physician. And the first thing you want to look at if you're a patient is the source of my hurt, the source of my brokenness. Let me look at one of those. Look at Proverbs 26 and look at verse number 22. What is the source? What's causing me to be emotionally broken? What's causing me to be emotionally in a predicament that I really don't want to be in? Look at Proverbs 26 and look at verse number 22. It's amazing what the Bible talks about on this subject or this thought. And this ain't the only thing. There's a whole lot more. The Bible says in Proverbs 26 and verse 22, the words, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. The Bible says, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. That word talebearer means slanderer. It means whisperer. It means backbiter. The Bible says not the physical, but the words of a slanderer. The words of a whisperer. The words of a backbiter are as wounds. That word wounds here means, in this verse, to burn. When something burns, it don't feel good. But if I watch it, the Bible says, as wounds or as a burn, and they go down. Like I'm swallowing this. They go down into the innermost parts of the what? Belly. Watch it. That word innermost here means the inward, that which is within me, that part of the belly. That word belly here means the seat of mental faculties. So we've moved beyond the physical, and we're talking about, my friends, that which is emotional, that which you can't see with the physical eye is invisible, but nonetheless, it's a wound. It's a hurt. It's a pain. When I think about this, I'm thinking right now. I'm thinking about somebody I love and I care about, and fellow preacher former pastor, but yet he's been wounded on the inside. He's been wounded. His spirit has been broken. And he's almost on the verge of no longer being in the ministry serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But why is that, preacher? Because we have a real live enemy, like the preacher preached last night, who's shooting arrows, not of healing, but arrows of destruction. The Bible says to take the shield of faith so we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And that word darts also means missiles. Missiles blow things up. The enemy wants to affect us and attack us on the inside. If he gets our insides, then if we're not careful, we lose the will. We lose the desire to serve God, to worship God, to follow God, or to do whatever God would have us to do. The patient, my friends, has a source of hurt. Some other sources of hurt are disappointments. It will cause you to be hurt. But not only disappointments, death will cause us to be hurt. Some trauma in our life will cause us to be emotionally hurt. A relationship problem, a financial crisis, the list goes on, but there's something that's caused us to be emotionally hurt on the inside. And by the way, my friends, not only does it move on the inside, but it also begins to affect that which is on the outside. When you and I are emotionally wounded, emotionally broken. Well, preacher, what are some of the symptoms of being hurt or emotionally broken? Well, look at Psalm 17 and look at verse number 22. Psalm 17 and verse number 22. Now stay with me. It's like when you go to the doctor. You got to get through all this stuff to get to the remedy. You got to get through all the, you know, what caused the hurt and what caused the pain and all that. And it ain't a good thing sometimes, not a happy thing. Because some things we don't want to re-talk about. There's some things that we don't want to go back and begin to recall what is the real root of our problem. But once you find out the root of the problem, that's when you and I begin to get the help that we need. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 17 and verse 22. The Bible says this. In Psalm 17, verse 22, ain't no Psalm 17 and verse 22. Amen. I'm just checking. All right, let's go on over the Proverbs and see if it's there. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. All right, part-time, get out of here. Look what it says. Proverbs 17, verse 22. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 22, a merry heart, yeah, doeth good. Hallelujah. Like medicine. Oh my. But a broken spirit, what does it do? Drieth the bones. What, my friends, are symptoms of hurt? Dried bones. The Bible says, my friends, in verse 22, a merry heart, a joyful heart. And that word heart here means the inner man doeth good, like medicine, like a cure, like a health. He says, but a broken spirit, an afflicted spirit, a wounded spirit, drieth the bones. The word bones here means the strength. What about that word drieth? The word drieth here in this verse also means confused or disappointed, to make dry. So in other words, my friends, when you and I find, hallelujah, when you and I find ourselves with a broken spirit, it will also cause us to have confusion or disappointment, even in our strength. It's there, but we don't even realize we have the strength. We're even confused about what's going on and what's taking place. When you and I have a broken spirit. But what's another a symptom of hurt? Go to Proverbs 18 and verse 14. A down spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain, support his infirmity, his sickness. Pause. What is he saying, preacher? He's saying this. The spirit of a man will sustain or support his infirmity. Listen, my friends, when your spirit's up, you can have some problems, some sickness, some hurts, but you're able to get through it. But now what about when your spirit ain't strong? It's not able to support that then. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. There's some stuff you face in life, but when you are spiritually strong, and even though you're having this thing happen in your life, it's like it's okay. It's all right. You know, we're taking some shots. We're taking some body hits here and there. But you know what? We're going to keep on going. But, watch what he says in the next part. But, he says, a wounded spirit, an afflicted spirit. That's how we know that first spirit wasn't wounded. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? That word bear here, watch this, means to lift. It means to raise. Who can raise a wounded spirit? Who can lift up a wounded spirit? Who can support a wounded spirit? Oh, we try. So-and-so's down. So let's go over there and let's try to lift their spirit. You know, that's a good thing. Let's try to encourage them. And that might last for a moment or two, but it won't last long. Because, my friends, you and I don't have that type of power nor ability. That's the kind of power, my friends, that comes from heaven above through the power of the Holy Spirit. So no matter how much you try, and y'all know what I'm talking about, but sometimes you've been wounding your spirit and somebody calls you or text, we don't call no more, or we text you or we inbox you praying for you. And you look at your computer and go, whoopee. Come on, somebody. Nice words, okay? Somebody give you a Bible verse. And you're like, great, I know that verse. I know Tim Wood goes right along with that one. But it ain't lifting you. And this one says, you're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. He can bring you through. You're like, not today. Because today I'm hurt. I'm wounded. I want to bite somebody. I want to gnaw somebody. I want to get back at somebody because I'm hurting. Sometimes, my dear friends, a person's wounded spirit, who can lift it up? It takes more power than what you and I've got. What are some other symptoms? Irritable. When your spirit's been broken or your spirit emotionally broken, you'll be irritable. Everything irritates you. You know, I mean, the Hawks won last night. We should have been rejoicing, but our wounded spirit, I was irritated. You know, they should have let them score that one goal that they got through in there. You know, it wouldn't have been 5-3. It should have been 5-1. But see, when you're irritated. But not only that, my dear friends, we become, we have little tolerance. There was something that bothered you one bit, but when you've got a wounded spirit, we ain't got no tolerance. Huh? I mean, before the kids, they mess it up all the time. But now it's like, you bunch of demons. I mean, you're like your in-laws. I mean, you look at your horns coming out your head. They're like, what's wrong? What's wrong is my spirit is wounded. What's wrong? I'm emotionally broken. But not only a little tolerance, but also feelings of anger, feelings of hate, feelings of resentment. Overly sensitive. When your spirit is broken, when you're emotionally broken, it's hard. Woo! You know what that Bible says, but it's hard to forgive when you're emotionally broken. You've taught on it. You share it with other people. Just got to forgive. But now you're emotionally broken. You're like, you know, that verse, I'm a hippie. He was talking to just the disciples. It was just to the 12. I mean, I don't think that's for everybody. You know, it's not for this dispensation. I mean, all of a sudden it's different. But that's how you know, my friends, that you and I are emotionally broken. But only that, my dear friends, it's hard to even feel loved. People can tell you all day, I love you, I love you, I love you. But you don't feel it. It's hard to feel it. And you know your mom and daddy love you, but you know what? When you're emotionally broken, they don't love me. Don't nobody care. You know, don't raise your hand. But I wonder how many times we walked around and we told people in our house, y'all don't love me. Y'all don't love me. Y'all don't care nothing about me. You know, and then sometimes they've heard that song so often, they're like, whatever, you know. See, I told you. I told you. You know, I don't care. But not only that, my dear friends, not only that, but also we begin to lash out. Not only lashing out, my friends, but we have self-hate. Sometimes you even hate yourself. You don't like yourself. Mad at yourself. That's when we are emotionally broken. Not only that, my dear friends, easy to be frustrated. And then sometimes it shows itself in cutting our bodies up. Sometimes it shows itself in retaliation or feeling hopelessness. And watch this. When we're emotionally broken, sometimes there's even hostility toward God, self, and even others. When we are emotionally broken. I mean, even though we know God ain't done nothing to us but good, but when you're emotionally broken, we have a problem with God, ourselves, and everyone else. These are symptoms of being hurt, symptoms of being emotionally broken. Well, preach hard, you done told me about the patient. Would you please tell me about the physician? Hallelujah. Look back with me to Psalm 147. There is a physician whose name is Jehovah Rapha. The Bible says in verse number 3, he healeth the broken in heart. Who's the broken in heart, that patient? He also bindeth up their wounds. Who's that person that's wounded? That person, that's the patient. But hallelujah, my friends, the Bible says there is a physician who knows how to heal. There is a physician that knows how to bind up. That word healeth means to mend, to make healthy. It means to cure. It means to repair. That word bindeth up means to bandage. It also means to wrap firmly. We talking about, preacher, this physician knows exactly what to do. Go with me to Exodus chapter number 15. In verse 26, Exodus 15, look at verse number 26. Let's look at this physician for just a moment. Look at Exodus chapter number 15 and look at verse number 26. If I get out of Genesis, I get there too. But go over to Exodus 15 and verse 26. The Bible says this. And said, if thou wilt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all the statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Why? For I am the Lord that healeth. That's Jehovah Rapha. And that word here, healeth, once again, my friends, means to heal, to make healthy, to cure, to repair. The Lord says, I'm the one that knows how to heal. I'm the one that knows how to repair. I'm the great physician. I know all the medication that you need. Well, preacher, tell me something. What do I do? I'm the patient. He's the physician. What do I do? Well, next we see, my friends, the departure. Go with me to Psalm 107 and verse number 19. Psalm 107 and verse number 19. What do I do, preacher? I'm emotionally broken. I'm the patient. What do I do, preacher? I know who the physician is. What do I do? Look what the Bible says in Psalm 107 and verse number 19. The Bible says then. These folks are going for some times here, but the Bible says then. Then the Bible says they did something. They, the Bible says, cried unto the Lord. That word cry means to cry for help or to call for help. See, that's sometimes our issue. We don't want to call nobody, even God. I'll figure it out. I'll work it out. He says they called for help. That means they realize, I need help. I need somebody that's bigger than me. I need somebody that's got more power than me. I need somebody that knows how to heal me on the inside. And the Bible says they called for help. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah. Watch this. The Bible says then they cried. They called for help, not to just anybody, but unto the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent one. And they called to him, the Bible says, in their trouble, in their tightness, in their trial, in, my friends, that afflicted place. The Bible says they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And then the Bible says he did something. He saved. He delivered them out of their distresses. Y'all know I like the word study. I like that word distresses. That word distresses here also means stress. It's even in the word. Distress. He said he came by and helped them with their stress. That cigarette can't do it. That bottle can't do it. That drug can't do it. That person, that individual can't do it. So a lot of times, let's be honest here today, a lot of times we're looking for somebody, some person sometimes to help me get through my problem. But people let you down because we're flawed. We're flawed. But my dear friends, when we go to Jesus, see, he ain't flawed. The Bible says he had no flaw. He had no sins. He was tempted, but he sinned not. My friends, when we go to him, my friends, we've got somebody that knows exactly how to help us in our time of need, in our time of stress. When stress comes in your life, when it comes in my life, cry for help. Say, Jehovah, help me, help me, help me. Stress, stress has grabbed a hold of me. My soul. The Bible says he saved, he delivered them. Watch this. How did he do it, Randall? The Bible says this. Verse 20. He sent. Thank you, Jesus. He sent his word. That's that medicine. That word. See, his word does not fail. His word can never be broken. That's why it's so important for all of us to know the word. What does it say about my anger? What does it say about my issue? What does it say? I got a call. The other day. It was a very unusual call. It's on a voice machine. And the lady said, I appreciate, I'm going to kind of paraphrase a little bit. I appreciate the track. I appreciate their enthusiasm. I appreciate the words that they said. I'm like, who is she talking about? But y'all going to have to move out of Genesis. Y'all got to get into Revelation. We can't be talking about the tree and the apple. And I said to myself, it wasn't no apple, it was a fruit. Anyhow, and she said, we need to talk about Exodus. Not all that stuff in the past. We got to, y'all got to get relevant. Maybe you just started, I don't know. But and I'm sitting there going, man. And she was telling me all the things that we need to preach on and to teach on. But it was all in the Revelation. We got to get out of all that in Adam and Eve. And we get out of all that. I'm like, well, that's the beginning. And I was so upset because I didn't have the number wasn't on the call ID. I was going to call back and try to encourage her. But I was like, what's she talking about? It's all relevant, my friend. How you know you going if you don't even know where you came from? Listen, my dear friends, when you and I realize what happened in the garden, that my friend, that serpent came by and he tempted Eve and tempted her and then she gave it to Adam and then sin passed on all of us and started in the garden of Eve, my friends. That's why we got sickness today. That's why we have the pain that we have. That's why the earth is cursed, my friends. And the only hope that we have is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. He died, my friends, that you and I might live. Woo! Hallelujah. I said, what are you talking about? She said, but I appreciate it, though. Listen, we need the medicine. I'm going to button popped off. I break all kinds of stuff. We need all the word. The Bible says, in verse number 20, he sent his word. And then the Bible says, and healed them. God sends us his word to heal us. And then the Bible says, and delivered them from their destructions. If you and I don't want to face destruction, if you and I don't have a spiritual car wreck, my dear friends, let's hear the words of the master, follow his advice, my friends, and we'll try and find ourselves in a place of victory and not in a place of defeat. But so often, our feelings get in the way. But I just loved him. I just love them. My world, I can't live without them. You might be surprised. But you understand. I mean, listen, I wish. And God was grateful to me and Jolene. He really was. Because we had no clue what we were doing. You know. But one thing was for sure. We wanted to know what the Bible had to say about whatever decision we was going to make. We got ready to get married down there in Georgia. Sitting in Dr. Tarver Moore's office. We both were loving God, want to live for God, and we asked Dr. Talbot Moore, so what does the Bible say about interracial marriage? Does the Bible say it's a sin? If Dr. Moore would have told us that interracial marriage was a sin, then me and Jolene would not be married today. It wasn't about our feelings toward each other. It was more about our feelings toward God. And Dr. Moore, we're in Georgia now, and Dr. Moore was raised a certain way, but he read from the scriptures and showed what the Bible said versus what man had to say. And he's the one that married us down in Georgia back in 1989. But my point is this. We want to know, what does the Bible have to say? What does the word have to say? If we would enter into marriage, listen to all my teenagers, boys and girls. If we would enter into marriage with that being our primary goal, what does God have to say? Oh, but they go to church. Great. But do they love God? They're saved. But do they love God? Well, they got a Bible at the house. But do they love God? My friends, so often, and as a pastor who's amongst pastors, oftentimes we have our young ladies and our young men, but especially our young ladies, we see them begin to date someone, and our first concern, I wonder if they're leaving the church. Because if that person don't go there, and they go somewhere else, or they're not even in church, then we have that concern. We go through our counseling and we talk and they talk about salvation. Yes, I'm saying I believe. They tell me whatever they want to tell me in my office. Only God knows. And I'm not there to say, well, you lying. You know, I mean, that ain't my job. But oftentimes we sit there and they go through all this stuff and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, man, they ain't loving on Jesus. They ain't loving on him. You know, I mean, when somebody's loving on them, when I look at Jesse, I mean, Jesse, she wants to do write plays and all that kind of stuff, you know, for the Lord. Oh, she wants to do all that kind of stuff. But you know what my concern is? She meets a boy. Then all of a sudden, her focus is on him. It ain't focused on him. And now she can't write a play because she can't think because he's acting crazy because he ain't gone. All right, help me, Jesus. Listen, if he ain't called, hey, change your number. You better watch, change my number. Listen, my dear friends, when I drew in, I wanted that woman. I love that woman. I chased her, she's running. I caught her.
Amen.
I mean, she have to wonder, you know, he don't call. 3 hours go by, 2 days go by. Come on now. You saw the text. You saw me call. Well, I got busy. Listen, when a man loves a woman, I'm going to tell you what. Man, he'll whoop somebody. He'll slap somebody. I'm just trying to tell you, I am a man. Daddy, you know what I'm talking about. Help me now. I mean, well, listen, my dear friends. They ain't got to wonder about it. If nothing else, listen, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Jolene thought she couldn't breathe. I'm trying to give her my resuscitation. I mean, but it was it. But see, I can't breathe. Get away from me. I'm just like, hey, I love you, girl. I love you. I love you. I didn't care what my friends had to say. I didn't care what the boys said. And then when I got married, they said, oh, man, you're henpecked. I said, man, you should. Yeah, I love it. It's great. It's great. You know, you should try this thing. I love being henpecked. You know, I got to go. Hey, man, what are you saying? Listen, when a person loves God, you don't have to beg. When a person loves God, listen, if I got to go to Brett, I said, Brett, would you please teach this class? And he goes, I don't know if I can. I'm like, son, did God call you to preach or not? Well, I mean, yeah, but I just ain't feeling today. Feeling it? I don't feel it every day. Amen. I mean, as a matter of fact, this morning, where's Dennis? Me and Dennis was here this morning. We were sitting in the sound room. It was 9:55. Dennis looked around. I said, if it's a time, go forward. And there was nobody. I'm thinking, all right, there wasn't a soul in this building but me and Brother Dennis, or I'm sorry, and his wife and Gracie. They was up in here. But that was it. At 9:55, I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden, he came. Y'all know who he is. He came. Man, them folks don't care about Sunday school or worship. Man, you know, I mean, look at you working hard trying to get this message, all this stuff. Man, you should just go home. I'm sitting there going, but I'm trying to be perky. You know, I would get me a cup of coffee. I'm going to have no coffee anymore, not most of the time anyway, because it's got caffeine in it, and that just causes things to happen. But nonetheless, but I'm sitting there going, but he came in there. Miss Bobby came in and said, I'm like, where the Sunday school teachers at? Where they at? I guess they'd be here about 15 after 10, I guess. What did I say? Man, tell him, man. I mean, he looked, there wasn't a soul in this room. Not a soul. I'm sorry, baby, I'm not trying to put you on blast. But Joel ain't one here either. Not a soul, amen. Nobody. They even come by and tell you all kind of stuff. I mean, all kind of stuff. And I said this. I said, you know what? I'm just, can I be honest? Okay, baby. I said this. I said, you know what? I ain't preaching tonight. I'm just being honest, y'all. I said, I ain't preaching tonight. I said, I might let Brad or somebody else preach. I ain't preaching tonight. Amen. I mean, but what happened? It was this. Your emotions. But if you go by your emotions all the time, we'll make some bad decisions. We'll make some bad decisions. Let me, we got to get done. We got plenty of time. We got to get done. Verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Flip back over to Psalm 147. Emotionally broken. The patient, the physician, and then we see the departure. And then the Bible says this in verse number 3. We'll back up verse number 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. The word bindeth, we already talked about, bondage or bandage, wrap firmly. But that word wounds here in this verse means pain. It means sorrow. The Bible says he, Jehovah God, comes by and binds up, wraps firmly their pain, their sorrow. He takes care of that pain and that sorrow that they're experiencing. But why is that, preacher? Because they cried out for help. Listen, it don't mean you're weak when you cry for help. Actually, it does mean you're weak. Your spirit is low and you are hurting. And you come to God and say, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I'm feeble. Lord, I feel like quitting. I'm about to give up. But Lord, I'm going to cry out to you for help. The Lord's not sitting back in heaven and going, I'm not going to help them. Because if he did that, he would not be a good father nor a good parent. But the Bible teaches us then we call upon him. Matter of fact, he gives us permission. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, he says, call unto me. And what's my temple to say? Huh? Well, let's go over there then. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Look what it says here. He says, call unto me, and I'm going to do something if you call me. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Now, I know it says. Let's read it. He says, call unto me, and what? I will. He ain't say might. I will answer thee. Oh, and by the way, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You didn't know this, but because you called me, I'm going to show it to you, and it's going to blow your mind. But I need you to call me. Woo! Glory! Call me, he says, and I will answer. I'm not going to look at the call ID and say, not again. No, he's going to say, yeah, he called me again. Let me answer and see what he needs. What are you saying, preacher? We get emotionally wounded. We're emotionally broken. There's a God named Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord that heals. He wants to heal us, but he needs us to call him. And you call him, and he will show up. I only got one question. Are you emotionally broken? Are you emotionally broken? Here's my statement. Let's give him a call. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God that healeth us. That word of God that builds us. Oh, yeah. That word of God that we fight the enemy with. The Bible says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So I pray and ask God this morning, we come and get a word from you on what the next step to do. What do I need? What moves I need to make next? And for that, God, we'll definitely thank you. I pray, God, you build us up where we're struggling. And I pray, God, that each of us, myself included, will be honest with you. Honest when we pray and talk to you. Honest, Father, in our communicating toward you. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. I pray, God, you help someone this morning that might be emotionally hurt, emotionally wounded, emotionally broken. And that word broken, Father, of course, means be broken into pieces, seemingly not be able to put back together again. But hallelujah, you know how to put all the pieces back and make it new. Father, I pray, God, you help us today. Then perhaps if somebody here this morning wants to come and say this, thank you, Lord, for when I was emotionally broken, I came to you and you helped me. And they just want to come by and say this, Father, thank you. And then God, perhaps if someone here today say, you know what? I've got a friend. I've got a family member who I know is emotionally broken, but I want to pray, God, that you would help them in their emotional state. And for that, Father, we'll thank you too. God, whatever the needs are, I pray, God, we respond. There's one here that's not saved, blood bought, and born again. In other words, they don't look at that and they go to heaven today. I pray, God, they come forth, let us show them from the word of God, have birth, born again. And for that, God, we'll thank you. That's it, Father. We've heard the sermon. We've heard the song. And now it's time to respond. For it's in your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.